Hello and welcome to First Thought of the Day. I'm sitting here in Valley Studio 1F with Aaron Renee Ingbrecht and Mallory Renee Eaton. How are you guys doing?
The same middle name?
Unbelievable.
I didn't know that.
How?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Did we just become best friends?
We did.
Time to go to the garage.
I'll say you want to go play karate in the garage?
Let's do it.
So, yeah, welcome back. It's the first time that we've had a podcast this year in March.
Yeah.
There we go.
How's that feel?
I didn't know where that was going.
I didn't either. Yeah. It was...
To be fair, I wasn't completely sold when I started it.
Were you going to... I thought maybe we were going to go in the direction of like, this is the first time we've had a part two. And I was like, no.
Well, it is the first time we've had a part two in March of this year.
That is true.
So, also didn't know where that was going. I bet either did you.
I kind of felt that one, actually.
Felt it. So, we've got... I don't know how to say it, but I've got probably 17 or 29 hours worth of things to talk about with this.
All right.
And looking at the pile of notes on your...
Just get some rustling of paper.
Oh, there we go. Some ASMR. Yeah.
What's ASMR?
So I don't remember the like what each thing means, but it's like sounds. So some people really love like different sounds. So like someone like opening a pop can and like the fizzing. And like, so it's just like noises.
And they're not going to pick that up.
No, it might. Yeah, you don't want to hear it. But anyway, so some people are really into it. So like some people will do like nails on things, but it's just like they like the sound of stuff.
It's
and it's supposed to do something, something neurologically. Not my thing. But some people like it. Yeah.
Back to the pod.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Side note. There you go.
Okay, so let's jump into it. We got a couple of comments here. Again, we started this as part two, but why is work a four-letter word? As the comment that we were supposed to have a guest, just for the record. We're not going to say who this guest was.
We're going to save him for later.
But I'll give you a hint.
And the M is apostrophe E-M.
Save him for later.
I don't understand. Okay. Sounds like, okay. So, first off. Susan says, I'm 100% with you that I don't think I will ever prefer reading on a device as opposed to a printed book. However, listening to vinyl is something that I think our family will never give up.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a vinyl crew. I know it's come back into popularity, but I still have vinyl albums from my youth. Even when I was without a record player for many years, I never got rid of them. Looking forward to hearing part two. Very good.
I'd be so scared that I would break them. I love, like, the whole aesthetic of all that, but, like... It's this big, right? It's massive, and then you got to hope you don't break it. And my CD life was rough. Like, I can't imagine how records would have held up.
I'm sure you guys probably know this about me. Is my bet is you would get this right, but I was OCD about taking care of my music.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like crazy.
But you have to be with something like that's the beauty of it. It's fragile, and it doesn't surprise me at all.
Next, this is from Sid the Kid, and we. I've read neither of these, but I'm pretty sure I know which Sid this is. As a Christian, I recognize that work was gift given by God before humanity sinned. After humanity sinned, work became toil.
There we go.
Now we have a complicated relationship with work, but ultimately the purpose of work is to glorify God. I think that's what makes work a four-letter word for some people, is that they don't have a driving purpose behind it. And boy, you talk about just cutting right to it.
Right. Yeah.
That's getting
that purpose
exactly
piece,
what we are. Going to be hitting today pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
I think. So, thoughts about the comments? Comments about the comments?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Keep them coming in, guys. We always like reading them.
And so. We always get such different perspectives, and I think that's what makes it beautiful. It's just looking at it from all these different angles.
Yeah.
So, let's jump into what Sid, I'm 99% sure that's Sidney Schaefer.
And if it's not, then he name dropped for no reason.
Yeah, right. Truly. Yeah. And then I apologize, Sydney, whatever your name is.
Sydney didn't want
that's fair.
To be known on anything other than Sid the Kid.
Hmm.
We'll bleep out the name. Yeah.
As soon as I figure out how to do that.
So just so you guys know, our listeners know this, one day we're going to figure out how to do this, and we're going to have a lot of bleeps for somebody that's our guest.
Yes.
And I guarantee you they won't actually be saying bad words.
Don't give away all of our secrets.
That's right.
Man, I just think of it'll Rod happen. Hammond. Rod Hammond coming in here to be a guest.
He'd be good.
And then just bleep, 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 bleep. eggs, bleep. Like, it's just weird. So, so let's jump in. What are you guys thinking for?
I've got a packet of stats. So if at any point you guys want to do some guessing, here's what I got.
A stat pack.
The happiest jobs of 2023. I know it's 2024, but
we don't have enough data in 24 yet.
Maybe not yet. Yeah. And they surveyed like a couple thousand people. So I've got the top five happiest jobs, and then I've got the top 20 unhappiest jobs, but I just did the top five again, or the lowest five, I guess.
Interesting.
And then I've got all kinds of other stuff about job satisfaction and
Well, I'd be interested in kind of leading off talking a little bit about that idea of purpose.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I do love that.
So the idea, of course, that we're talking about here is if people don't tend to like the notion of work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tell me why. Tell me thoughts.
I think sometimes, so I feel like lately there's almost like this negative image of work. We've talked about this.
It has a stigma.
The try hard as an insult, where it's like, man, if I could be labeled as a try hard, before that word was around.
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. It's an overachiever, essentially.
Yeah. And there's like this negative connotation where if it looks like you're working hard, that's all of a sudden a bad thing. I think we see people do really like difficult things well, and it looks easy. And so I wonder if that contributes to, man, I don't want to put in the work because I don't want people seeing me put in the work. I don't know.
And I always compare this. I know that maybe I've said this on this before, but when we just finished with the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady era of quarterbacking, and watching those two play, you got a completely different sense of what it was to be a quarterback.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When Peyton Manning played quarterback, he made it look hard.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult, it's a tremendously difficult position.
Sure.
But he's calling audibles, he's yelling Omaha, he's pointing over here, he's doing bunny ears.
His feet are moving so fast while he's standing still.
Yeah.
And so he made it look hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady made it look easy.
Yes.
And I think that when people, granted, I think that even if had they won the same amount of championships, I still think Tom Brady would have been seen as better because he made it look easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be. Fair. I think it's what, like, when people see that, it's that struggle piece. It's that fear of failure. Because working hard, usually there is some sort of failure in there or struggle. Sure. So, what I see a lot in people is they don't want it's, we're in that social media time of life where everything has to look perfect, right? All my pictures are going to be perfect, mm-hmm. and I'm only going to post the selfie that I look great.
Right.
And so I think when it comes to people, especially kids, but like, I don't want to show people my struggle. Like, mm-hmm. I personally don't care, but like, I think a lot of people.
The eye and kind of the universal yes. eye.
And I think people don't want other people to see, although there's so much beauty in the struggle, mm-hmm. but I think they want to be seen as like, oh, my life is perfect or this is great. And nobody, I feel like a lot of kids, oh, you're just naturally smart versus, sure. oh, I have to work at being smart. And almost like that's a bad thing.
It's a really interesting moment because today is 80s day,
mm-hmm.
right? And I kind of came into my own in the 90s, is what I kind of like to say. Mm-hmm. I was alive in the 80s, but I wasn't, I wasn't me till the 90s really. But in the 90s, it was cool to not care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool to just kind of stare at the ground and listen to Smashing Pumpkins mm-hmm. and hate life, right?
Yes.
And that was the whole idea of what it was. Nowadays, though, it's different. It's almost kind of cool to care about
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't apply to work.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's cool to care about societal imperfections. Right, mm-hmm. I mean, you get people fired up by talking about human trafficking.
Yes,
yeah.
That's a legit, real societal injustice mm-hmm. that my generation pretty much turned a blind eye to.
Right,
and nowadays people are legitimately upset and really angry. You know, the idea of different civil rights being infringed mm-hmm. upon, it really fires us up. Generationally, we didn't care.
Right,
but that same idea doesn't apply to work. And my that's really been my kind of my driving question. Why the heck not?
So I have another thought. It's so easy to be negative.
Sure.
Like, it's so easy. And honestly, you can get more laughs that
and
way,
fun.
Too.
It's yeah. a lot more fun to be negative.
And so I think that's an easy contributor.
Okay.
I think that's just kind of a, man, it's just, oh, if I could just say something negative, sometimes you'll get a laugh. Sometimes you get people to, like, commiserate with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but even those laughs, I think, have become cliche at this point. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, somebody's got a case of the Mondays, right? Oh, right. It's TGIF. It's so beyond overused at this point. So I'm gonna jump in. I brought a little bit of print offs of my own.
And I brought nothing. Yeah. Just myself.
You got your Gatorade bottle.
That's right. Yeah, I'm staying
Gatorade,
hydrated.
If you're out there listening.
We'd love a sponsorship.
It would be wonderful. You could buy me a microphone. So have you guys heard of, I'm sure you've heard of at least one of these two names. Have you heard of the writer Wendell Berry?
No.
Okay. Wendell Berry is a good Kentucky boy. He's an agrarian writer, which basically means he enjoys writing about the land, and he enjoys writing about the passion and the love he has for working that land.
Okay.
I became aware of him through Nick Offerman. You know that name, yes?
No.
Ron Swanson.
No.
Okay. I know him as Ron Swanson. Yeah.
Okay.
Distasteful.
Yes. So I've read some of his books about it, and I remember as I'm thinking about work, I'm thinking, man, there was something he had. It was really good. There was a quote about work. And I knew it was in some way tied to Wendell Berry. And so what I'd like to do, if that's okay, a little public reading here.
Here we go.
I suppose we'll allow it.
This is exciting.
This is.
Well, that's what we do around here. So, this is from Paddle Your Own Canoe. And he's a obviously well-known for being on the Parks and Recreation team, being Ron Swanson there. But he's also arguably more deeply known in the woodworking community. Because
really?
He is legitimately gifted. I mean, he's published in all kinds of real woodworking journals.
That's so awesome.
And he makes his own stuff, okay? So here's his quote. Work hard, work dirty. Choose your favorite spade and dig a small, deep hole located deep in the forest or a desolate area of the desert or tundra. Then bury your cell phone and find a hobby. Actually, hobby is not a weighty enough word to represent what I'm trying to get across. Let's use discipline instead. If you engage in a discipline or do something with your hands instead of kill time with your phone device, then you have something to show for your time when you're done. Cook, play music, sew, carve, bedazzle. I'm here to tell you, we've been duped on a societal level. And this is where it gets good. My favorite writer, Wendell Berry, writes on the topic with great eloquence. He posits that we've been sold a bill of goods claiming that work is bad. Mm-hmm. That sweating and working, especially if soil or sawdust is involved, are beneath us. Our population, especially the urbanites, have largely forgotten that working at a labor, that one loves is actually a privilege. And that's, I think, my philosophy. Hmm. That idea of if, and could we all just kind of grant for a given, as a given, that we're going to have rough stretches, rough days, rough patches, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We all get that. So we don't need to, I hope I don't need to continually bring that up. I fear I will, even still. But I don't want to. But since we are a group of people who are called, I believe.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm called to be in this building.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even with you two knuckleheads.
That's right.
Now.
We're the icing on the cake.
That's true. You are the cake. I mean,
I want to be the sprinkles.
Yeah. I don't know why I just thought of like the different stooge noises that they make. Yeah.
Okay, but if we're called to be here, why are we living as if we weren't? Thoughts?
Yeah.
Why are we living a life of half-hearted, like, I don't want people to think I'm a try-hard. I don't want people to think I really care about this.
I feel like it's we're not really living in like the moment. I feel like so many people. So actually, this is from my yoga teaching stuff. But so many people live in just the, like, they're always looking forward to something. Sure. What's the next, you know, thing? When do I get a break? Like we said before. But it's like, are you really being present now?
Yeah.
And focusing on, you know, yeah, maybe you had a really bad day yesterday and the kids were just losing their minds. But today, it might be the best day you've ever had.
You need to hit reset.
Yeah. And I think that, I know I've been guilty of that before. You know, just you're in a rough time and life happens. And
but again, being guilty of that before is not the same as living there.
That's true.
And I think that what I'm really trying to get a hold of is, why do we choose to live there? Right? Why is it that we as societally, not just us.
Yeah.
Why is it that we are almost allergic to work?
Is it because it's easy? You know, like it's easy, like you said, it's easy to be negative, right? That's sure. the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
So fair. Is it just easier to say, oh, I'm just going to complain and do whatever? Yeah. I mean, but that is because the other things require either some self-reflection or, you know, purposely being positive. And I think that's hard.
I'm blessed in teaching a group of students who are going to probably go to college. Overwhelmingly, they're at least going to try.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they would go somewhere, spend 4 additional years, mm-hmm. maybe 4 additional years on top of that, to come out the other side saying, I can't wait for the weekend.
Hmm. Yeah.
I can't imagine me trying to pour into that person and say, yeah, you know what? You're right. Everything's going to be better this summer. Right?
Yeah. But maybe they took the wrong path, though, too. I feel like some people think, you know, you have to pick at 18 what you want to do. That's
truly,
wild.
Truly. I agree. But
that's probably few and far between.
I wouldn't say that societally we have. Mm-mm. I'd say societally we've been sold a bill of goods here. That this idea of that work is a 4-letter word.
Yeah.
I wonder if we glorify the weekend too much.
Like
we've built it up to be this amazing thing. We have all these trinkets and gadgets and things that we purchase, and we get to play with these boats and all this stuff and go to the lake house. And I mean, we don't.
Right. But, you've got boats and lake houses.
Yes. Each twin has their own boat.
Yes. But a lot of people do, and it's like, this is what, and they're trying to fill a void maybe that exists.
Mm-hmm. I think we're finally getting somewhere.
It's like, man, that if I could just get to that, then I'll love it. And then they realize, man, my weekend's done and I'm back to work. And you spend the majority of your time.
Isn't that a reflection of absolute deep unhappiness?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's a bigger picture thing. Yeah. We see it as, oh, it's the weekend, but it's a stress thing. It's an unhappiness thing, and they're not dealing with that positively.
I mean, do you love what you do?
Oh, yeah.
I do enjoy it, yeah.
Tell me why. Put it into words.
I love to be a part of people's lives. My life motto is leave things better than you found them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's people, places, whatever.
Laundry.
Yeah, don't ask my husband about my laundry skills. But anyways, I love this age because I feel like I can be that one positive person in these kids' lives. And I'm not saying I'm going to alter their lives, but maybe I'm the one.
Hopefully at least one of three.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I truly love that human connection. And I love the content I teach. And
sure.
I feel like I'm doing, I feel like I'm giving back to the world, right? Doing this, I know it's not great pay. I know it's whatever, stressful, but I feel like I am contributing to society in a way that's taking us to what I see as a positive thing.
Yeah. Do you bristle at the phrase change the world?
Yeah.
Does it seem too cliche for you?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a more specific person.
What were you going to say? I was going to say, for me, to answer the question, I find great purpose in what I do. Impacting kids in a positive way, whether it's like personally or with the content.
Mm-hmm.
I do love my content. I like studying business stuff. I love seeing what the kids come up with as far as like business ideas. And mm-hmm. I teach a lot of entrepreneurship classes. So they come up with a lot of the new stuff, and I just kind of, I'm along for the ride and trying to figure it out as we go.
Mm-hmm.
I get to play games.
Yeah.
Like, I for the life of me, I can't figure out why, if somebody does not enjoy teaching a certain thing, why not make it fun for you then? Mm-hmm. Make it fun for the kids for sure, but make it fun for you. If you don't enjoy it, switch it up.
Yeah.
Like, I have the autonomy to say, nope, this doesn't work, or I don't like it.
We're blessed in that regard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my follow-up to both of yours. It sounds like you're both saying very similar kind of things, mm-hmm. right? The idea that, hey, you're supposed to be here. You're making some sort of an impact, whether you like the phrase change the world. Fine. What percentage of the time do you, like, actually cognitively think about that? Like, what percentage, like, is it an hourly, daily, monthly, yearly? Like, how often do you say, this is why I'm here and this is what I'm doing?
So as a habit for our content team, we meet every Tuesday and Thursday morning. We kick it off with, you know, what are we excited about? What's one good thing you're looking forward to, or one thing good thing that's happening in your classroom? So that's built in already. But then I feel like I'm just constantly thinking about,
but that isn't the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm hearing you wrong. Because it's not, it's a, hey, tell me something positive, not something that this is my purpose for being here. Because to me, that's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But it could be a result of my purpose.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it is.
Perfect. Tied that's in. All, that's yeah, all yeah, I yeah. need to hear. Cool.
Yeah.
I'd say probably, definitely weekly. I think when I start to feel that way, like, I very much enjoy what I do.
Yeah.
But there's times where I feel struggle and I'm really trying hard to practice gratitude.
Agreed.
So I feel like when I'm in those moments of struggle, which sometimes are weekly, I really just sit there and I'm like, okay, you know, what's this really about? You know, it's that, and normally whatever I'm upset about has nothing to do even with my job, but you spend most of your time here. So I think I really try hard to show gratitude, practice it. But that's when I would say
I see that in both of you, by the way. And the reason I'm asking those two specific questions is I think if you were to ask people why they're here, they would rather quickly say something at least somewhat similar to what you guys have mm-hmm. said. Maybe not exactly word for word, verbatim or anything, but somewhere in the ballpark. But do they live it?
Hmm.
And it sounds like you both are. It sounds like yours is a daily and yours is at worst a weekly mm-hmm. thing. So I guess my question is, I wonder what our school community and world would be like if we had an army of people living that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what our world would be like if it was, here's my purpose, I can say it to you right now.
Yeah.
I can put it into words. This is my purpose, and I think about this frequently.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get stuck in ruts, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that that's... I don't know. I feel like that's something that we don't do societally well.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a lot of challenge in some people finding their purpose. Like, I wish we focused on it more, but I think about, like... Like how I said before, kids have to decide what they want to do at 18 before you spend all this money on college. But even when they come in as freshmen, they have to pick a track. And it's like what you're passionate about at one age might not be the same at a different age because you're a different person. And so is some of that also people just have no idea what they want
to
do.
But to take some of the pressure off them, I'll tell them, you don't have to have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick something, aim towards it, and then mm-hmm. when you change your mind, aim towards something else. I mean, I'm one of those guys.
I'll never forget the time you had, I'm 95% sure it was you, when you had a person in one of your internships.
Yeah.
And she wanted to be a vet. And she went to be, I'm not going to say the name, but she
already named drop one.
Or a nurse.
Okay, or a nurse.
Okay.
But I'm thinking of one who was
go for it.
It could have been the right before you got here.
Sure.
But she wanted to be a vet, and she went in, and she had to see a dog get put down.
Yeah.
Mm.
And she came back to my room, and she was weeping.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why are you crying? I said, the dog was in, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's not that. I can't do that, though. I just invested all this time, and I can't do this.
Right.
Well, because they don't know what it actually – it's kind of like when you see things on TV like Grey's Anatomy.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's not what being a doctor is.
But my point to her when I said was, oh, my goodness, do you understand how much of a gift you've just been given?
So good.
You didn't go to college for 4 or 8 years you learned this in a semester in high school.
Yeah.
You can't figure, that's not your thing. What a gift. Mm-hmm. You just learned, you just got to cross one thing off your list of, I'm not that.
Yeah.
Now right. I've got this other pile of things that I know for a fact that she's doing well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In what she's doing, but.
That wasn't my student. Okay. But I've had 100 students like that.
Well, I want to tell
The one that wanted to be a dental assistant for 4 years pestered me about the work-based learning program and then got into it. And after the first day, I asked, hey, how'd it go? Tears.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So couldn't much blood. It. Can't handle it. Sure. I said, well, let's stick it out through the week and see how it goes. At the end of the week, we had to switch it up.
Isn't that wild?
For, I guess, 3 years before that, leading up to it, it was all about this. Everything, sure. Every report that I saw, everything. So, yeah, so I see it time and again.
Well, I had a player in one of your students that, when I was still teaching at the middle school, teaching special ed, she thought she wanted to go that route. Mm-hmm. And so she came, and she liked hanging out with me too, but, like, she came over Who and doesn't? Saw, she saw okay. the, she saw what it was about, and she was like, and she felt so bad telling me, but she's like, I hate this. Yeah. And I'm like, thanks. But she's so like, bad. But she was just, this is not at all what I thought this was. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like, honey, that's amazing.
Yes.
Like that you know. Yes. Yeah. And she thought for sure she was going to do this. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but framing it as a gift versus, oh, I put all this time into it. Mm-hmm. And now that's not it. It's easier to just give up.
So those are things that have really been going through my mind with how can we find that purpose, which I feel like about one out of every two episodes we're talking about this somewhere for us. But
it's important.
But finding a purpose, living that purpose, then it's not work anymore, mm-hmm. right? Am I wrong that it's not no longer work? It's a joy for us?
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing it right.
With bumps along the way.
Well, obviously. Yeah. Nothing's perfect. But I genuinely enjoy interacting with kids. And when they, like, it changes your mood. When you're doing something you enjoy.
I don't know, you're putting it all in there.
I think it's still work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not miserable like everybody else mm-hmm. feels about work. Or not everybody, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
The bulk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the majority do. Show us some of your stats.
Yeah,
here.
I'm curious right. about
some of these.
So, found an article or a little survey that was the happiest jobs of 2023. Just throw out some guesses there.
Acrobat?
they're pretty normal careers.
Circus peanut tester.
Circus peanuts are disgusting.
They sure
like the
are.
Candy? Oh, man.
Let's see here. Little Debbie employee.
No. Any real guesses?
What about like a librarian?
Librarian's not on the list.
I mean, entrepreneur?
No, it was that. I think that's too general. Okay, here they are.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll go, when we go 5 to 1, 1 to 5.
5 to 1.
Five to 1, of course.
Number 5 was quality assurance analyst.
That's the circus peanut.
That's stuff. The circus peanut. Okay, yeah.
There you go, actually. That's actually not a terrible guess. 4, teaching assistant.
Oh.
3, teacher.
Okay, teaching assistant for.
Is that like at the college level?
It just said teaching assistant.
I realize that I sound really, really aggressive as I ask that question.
How dare you?
I didn't mean it to sound so.
But I know they
give
often
give me more information.
But I know they often put all the work onto these people. I would have assumed it'd be a very stressful job.
Right.
Agreed.
But okay.
3 was teacher.
I've heard of some of those folks.
2, firefighter.
Oh.
1, physical therapist.
Okay.
Okay, all of those are very clear purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single one, except maybe the circus peanut guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do.
He's torturing himself is what
That's
he's doing.
That's truly unfortunate.
On the top 20 unhappiest jobs in America, number 5, teacher.
Well,
maybe it's polarizing.
That's true.
You either really like it or you really don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. There's not a lot of people that are kind of like 50-50. Yeah. Number 4, pharmacy technician, which I think would be miserable.
So those are the folks that like...
That are counting pills. I think I would not enjoy
all
that.
All they get are like absolute terrible calls.
And they just are constantly going up dealing with sick people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and insurance and why isn't this working?
Oh my goodness, I get it. I get
that. I'd be miserable.
Yeah. 3 is program coordinator. I don't know.
That would be stressful, like though. You're trying to get all the things in places.
And your circus peanuts.
And all the circus peanuts.
Two dispatcher. I could see why that would be.
Dude, that'd be crazy
high stress. High
stress. Crazy stress. And it's like a air traffic controller.
Yes.
Like that. Oh, my goodness.
You have to be 100% accurate.
Well, but being a 911 dispatcher, even, that would be traumatizing. It takes a special person.
Agreed. Number one was analyst, which the number five on the happiest was quality assurance analyst. So I don't know.
Maybe there are two different styles.
Maybe it's polarizing again. Analysts. I've got a bunch more. I mean.
Maybe let's sprinkle them in occasionally when you have some. Let's just. Yeah. If it's not going well, I don't know. Sometimes, like, you know what we could use? We could use some more stats.
I've got the job satisfaction.
Oh, man.
Statistics. I've got 11 shocking employee happiness statistics that will blow your mind.
We're at half an hour. We can call it.
Maybe we can come back for part three.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Goodness. We're going to have a six-part mini-series.
Never ending.
It's going to be wonderful. So give us your thoughts, guys, about the intersection of purpose, the intersection of all the what brings us happiness, all of it. And yeah, don't forget to leave us a comment. We are on, obviously, Podbean, our old pal.
Obviously.
Our old pal, The Bean. We're on Apple Music. We're on Spotify. We are beyond 1,000 downloads.
We are everywhere.
We're not looking back.
We're in the stratosphere.
I want 2,000 by the end of this week.
Wow, that's some big
goals. 35,000.
Let's go.
Sometime.
To the moon.
So, hey, thanks for listening to us. As always, we love doing this. We're happy that anybody at all listens. I still can't. I legitimately cannot believe that when people are like, I listen to your podcast.
I love it.
And I'm like, I had. And this is how stupid I am. They're like, yeah, I listen to it when I'm living in Syracuse, Indiana. And I'm like, man, it goes all the way there.
You should have just said Syracuse and people would have thought New York.
He's still struggling from our airwaves episode on things we don't understand. He's still stuck there.
I'm remarkably stupid in so many ways. So anyway, thanks for listening, guys, and we hope to see you next week on First Thought of the Day.